Well, Kansas, good to speak. Good to see you. I'm Clark, and then we got Russell here. Who have you? Is it just been Oksana communicating with?
Yeah, I think
Kansas?
So.
Okay.
And yeah. Evan's the one that reached out through unnamed.
Okay.
Boys, yeah.
That's right. Evan the Bulldog.
Evan's cool.
That's right. We need Dust Startup. We'll send Evan out there.
What? I don't know where you're going with that.
Your yes and skills are as sharp as always, especially on a Monday. Kansas, first thing. How a 17-year-old making a movie with Kato Kaelin. That's how we're going to start off the interview. That's how, you know, we start off strong today.
Okay.
But, you know, at 17, you know, I think what was Orson Welles with Citizen Kane? That was 25, right? So at 25, he, you know, shot, produced, you know, what some people consider the greatest American movie of all time at 25. But you shoot a feature film with Kato Kaelin at 17. I think I'm going to give you the edge over Orson Welles at this time. So congratulations and welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. I love Orson Welles. So thank you very much. Orson Welles directed my favorite movie of all time. For Fate. Sorry, I keep laughing. I've had really bad acid reflux. It's like, I don't think I'm sick. I just have like, heartburn. F for Fake, best movie ever.
Russ, that falls directly into your alley as one of the, you know, proprietors of found footage and found footage culture.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a big F for Fake fan?
I haven't seen it.
Russell!
Kansas, where I come from, anything that's had like academic backing behind it, I feel like my voice on this podcast is not going to add to that in any way.
You say that. So I think that's a you problem, though.
It is a me problem. I'm aware.
Been there. You know,
I know. And I believe me, I have a Criterion collection. You I know do. I have my learned art and I love it. I just don't talk about it. And a lot of it I don't watch unless somebody wants to come over and hang.
And why is that? Are you ashamed of your highbrow, of your closeted highbrow taste sometimes?
It can turn a room against you.
If you are with you.
Or with you. Yeah. That's how I met our engineer.
Kansas, do you have these problems? Do you have to hide your highbrow taste? Do you feel like
with your highbrow friends? I don't really care.
See? You like Kansas. She didn't give a shit.
Yeah. I try every day. That's my goal. And Kansas, I got to tell you, I watched BC Butcher on Amazon Prime years ago. Mm-hmm. And what I walked away from that experience was, I thought, Troma's doing interesting stuff again. For a long time, I had turned on them. I had like soured on the company. And then I watched that and I'm like, oh, this is different. I was a little disappointed as a slasher fan, but the I like the product. So how
it's
did you?
Like, it's more of like a Mean Girls movie.
Yeah, and Kato's a perfect cast for it too.
Yeah,
he still looks good.
Yeah, it's Kato.
How did you meet up with him?
I don't know. I like found his phone number. I was like, oh my god, I should see if he'll want to be in the movie, and I just called him. He didn't even know me.
Amazing.
I mean, it is funny
how you cold called him to be in your feature film as a 17-year-old.
Yeah.
Crack balls on this one.
Yeah, I found like one of his old business cards.
So where does your inspiration come from? I've followed you and your career from a distance for a while, but I'm not sure if you're...
That's not creepy at all.
It's social media, so it's only creepy if you identify it as creepy.
That is true.
I'm curious, are you like an art fan? Do you come from like the art world? Or are you a cinema fan?
No, I've just always loved movies. I don't know. I came out of nowhere.
Yeah. You know, I asked because I think you have a really interesting perspective. Like, you know, you went from BC Butcher and you've done a lot of music video work, which music videos as a genre of film, I feel have some of the worst stigma. Like they kind of, they had that boom where they had a ton of money and then it turned into a YouTube product. And I think the giant gap is still there. You're either making an indie video that people share for a minute and forget, or you know, you have a lot of money in it and it becomes kind of like your, I don't know, your Spotify image that just plays on loop. And there's still like millions or nothing. And I don't know, you've made interesting work. Like the one, I remember I saw your Iggy Pop video where he was doing the Andy Warhol bit. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, where are these? Like, those are the type of ideas that we have friends who they just would shy away from it. And I don't know. I'm like, I'm curious where your taste comes from.
Iggy Pop, maybe?
Yeah, I love Iggy Pop. I can't really pinpoint an exact spot where like my taste comes from, I guess. I mean, my dad showed me some weird movies growing up, but he showed me Creepshow and things like that. But I don't know.
I don't know, Kansas, if you've hung out in the horror
community. Past lives.
Yeah. Well, the horror community, there are a lot of people who have seen Creepshow, but they're not turning around and making cuddly toys. Like, definitely, like the problem with a lot of horror fans, and I know, I'm sorry to people listening, but that they get kind of put in their own bubble and they don't really explore beyond like Friday the 13th or like, especially even considering cinema, they're not going on an Ingmar Bergman course. They're usually sticking to like Freddy. And I don't know, you've got a lot of outside influences, like the 70s aesthetic. Like, where does that come from?
I mean, I don't know where it comes from. It's just my taste. But I especially connect to Westerns and trucker movies. And those are like sort of my main favorite type of films, and then like Mondo movies. And I've been very obsessed with Altman lately.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Altman, yeah. Great.
Educate us a little bit on some more of a trucker.
I knew cinema. You were going to.
Oh really? I mean, I could talk for the whole hour about this if you
please,
want.
Please, the floor is yours.
Well, my hero, my like the number one greatest person ever is C.W. McCall.
Sure.
Real name is Bill Freeze, but yeah. So C.W. McCall did the song Convoy.
Yeah.
He's. I mean, if you're talking about inspiration, he's like my number one inspiration. So, he's changed my life. And
that is incredible, Russell. and Kansas, you as well. Just so you know, one of my father's sort of parlor tricks was being able to recite Convoy. In complete, you get too complete.
Oh, I can do that too.
Yeah.
I thought you didn't like this man, though. That sounds like something you'd be impressed by.
Oh, C.W. McCall or my father? No, C.W. McCall has my respect. But, him memorizing, that's a cool thing.
I have no idea what Convoy is, by the way.
Oh, dude, no. This kind of falls into, are you a Smokey and the Bandit fan?
Me? Yeah. I saw Smokey and the Bandit when I was really young. I actually wanted to be a trucker when I saw that when I was a kid. So yeah. I've always loved Smokey and the Bandit, but it wasn't until I was an adult that I got into C.W. McCall. But his song Convoy, it was number one in 1976. And it basically like started the whole 70s trucker craze. Like there are some trucker things pre-CW, but the Convoy was kind of, you know, the impetus for like the, you know, all the Smokey and the Bandit and BJ and the Bear and all that stuff and White Line Fever and all those things. Then Sam Peckinpah made a movie based on the song Convoy.
I still have not seen that, which is, it's fully up my alley, cause you get both, C.W. Call and Peckinpah, that's a win combo for everybody.
Okay.
It's pretty incredible.
The trucker genre, like just from the trailer Convoy, I'm getting that there's kind of like a protagonist tilt here where like, I immediately thought it would be akin to like the biker gang films where there's like the dark hippiedom and gangs. And it's a lot of like, they're just a roving pack of chaos in our America.
Yeah.
Where this looks like they're a roving pack of heroes.
So are you saying that the motorcycle is to the 60s that the 18-wheeler is to the 70s?
Yeah, maybe.
You know?
Well, yeah, the trucker genre, it was supposed to be like, oh my God, sorry. Like
you're
contemporary.
Fine.
cowboys. Yeah, it was like the modern day Western. But the biker movies have more of an anarchist edge to them, while the trucker movies are more libertarian leaning.
Yeah, I see him punking a cop right now, and it's like, I'm into it.
Well, the song Convoy is about, there was the oil crisis in the 70s where, you know, they were trying to make everyone save gas, and they had this nationwide new speed limit for truckers, which was 55 miles per hour, which pissed a lot of people off because, you know, they couldn't get to places in time.
Including Sammy Hagar. And so that's why
these convoys would form, where they would all kind of drive together, but really fast. And it was just kind of like sticking it to, you know, the Smokies trying to institute this, the double nickel limit.
Double nickel.
But yeah, they're very like American. The music and the movies are very American, but anti authoritarian. So
interesting. Yeah. Okay, so I feel like you've got a penchant for Americana.
Yeah.
How do you feel about like the current state of America? And without trying to get like bored by like a political conversation, I mean more like the state of like media.
And how are you going to bring back the trucker genre?
Yeah.
Well, I'm actually going to start the world's first ever trucker film festival.
Love it.
I own a movie theater that I'm restoring. It's an old historic theater. It's not open yet, but it's in the process of being restored. But once it's open, we're going to have the world's first ever trucker film festival.
Real quickly, how was that process going, restoring an old movie theater?
It's a lot of paperwork, getting grants and things like that.
Sure. But, is it like, you know, an older historic place?
It was built in 1946, so it's just post world. It's in a military town, just post World War II. It's in a Quonset hut. I just got it added to the State Register of Historic Places in Nevada.
Fuck yeah!
Fantastic.
It sounds kind of like something a trucker wouldn't be down with.
Yeah, that's right.
You should have just opened it.
Well, you know, I had to get electricity in the building and stuff like that. So
that's true.
So a trucker film fest, does that mean you're only going to show trucker movies, or is it only going to be admitted to truckers?
Trucker movies, and then probably like maybe free admission for trucker or something like that. We'll see.
The trucker, a tragic career that will definitely be gone.
Does Pee Wee's Big Adventure count as a trucker movie?
Because of Large Marge? Sure. I guess it could.
All right.
Yeah, movies that, you know, teeter on the edge of the trucker genre, but, maybe we could just have the Large Marge scene. Because, you know, that is one of the scariest scenes in any movie in the entire world. So.
Without question. Also, Kansas, I think you're going to learn if, you know, running a film festival is like, you know, you're going to have to make decisions on that. Cause I know running from the found footage side of things, it's like, you know, the evolution that's taken, you know, last 7 years of doing the festival. It's like, you know, from year one to year seven, it's like year one, we didn't want any BGM whatsoever. And like everything had to be to the T for found footage. And now it's like, you know, open it up to anything. So it's like, you know, whatever. Yeah,
I guess. Cuddly Toys is like somewhat found footage, you know.
Well, no, we use the umbrella term in-world camera. So now, because what happens is when you want to take it...
The instructional film.
So we're based in the Bay Area, and we have a lot of film fests out here. And there's kind of... it used to be like maybe 5 years more so than now. But there was a very like nose up in the air when you talk about film, never a movie. And I wanted to put like a wedge in that where it's like, well, I want to take the most stigmated subgenre of horror and kind of give it that thought. Like, let's think about them. Let's think about the different narrative approach. And you got to parse out all those details eventually. Like, well, what makes an in-world camera film? And it's kind of if the camera is in the movie, like if the characters are making the product. So I would say your film definitely fits in the Mondo.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely a Mondo movie.
Or even like a faux doc. So if you're making a documentary that is you know, fiction, but nonfiction presenting, that counts too. So, yeah, I don't know. What brought you to the Mondo vibe? I know you said earlier you're a big fan of it, but honestly, as a somebody who's running a film fest about the genre, that's probably my least experienced like form of in-world.
It's just kind of a dead genre, so I thought it would be something interesting to bring back. It's also just like there's so many documentaries are so popular right now, but nobody really makes it. Most documentaries that come out are just so straightforward, and nobody like there's kind of like a lost artistry to them.
Yeah.
When documentaries could potentially be like the most creative genre out there, because you can take real footage and kind of do anything with it. And then they're all sort of presented in this formulaic fashion. So I don't know. I just feel like there's so much you could do with movies, especially documentaries. And I don't know. People just like to make the same recycled crap over and over again, but
yeah. Well, no,
there's just a lot of potential in the genre.
Are you a YouTube fan?
Sure.
Well, because it's an argument me and Clark have a lot, is that YouTube is making forms of documentary all the time, but there's something like in the DNA that's different. And I think Clark, you pointed it out. It's the lack of being on location. They're like uncinematic in that way.
Yeah.
But with the internet, you can mix media the fuck out of that thing. And I'm just curious, because I feel like the documentary world has gotten more interesting on YouTube. But in like the theater, it's kind of doing the same shit it's always done.
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of a lot more avenues to be lazy too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. People with the short form of things on YouTube, people kind of have even lower their standards even more and watch like, I don't know.
A video, it's a turnaround like time 40, thing too.
It's like 40 minutes to make. I don't know. Yeah. It's just, I don't know.
Well, I'm sorry, Clark. You gotta watch Trap Lore Ross.
Oh my God.
He does 6.5 hours of documentary on one subject.
Kansas, I'm sorry for bringing you on the show. I'm sorry.
What is it called?
Trap Lore Ross. He does documentaries on trap artists. And what he does is he'll pull from their social media. The thing is, I think it's an interesting form because he's kind of using social media to build a picture. And ultimately, that's the kind of work that regular people, I mean, nobody's going to invest the amount of time this dude does. And ultimately, he's kind of building arguments that these people have admitted to murders too. So there is kind of like the flashy YouTube end, but also maybe you could say he's exposing murders. Clark, I'm sorry. I think they're just a new avenue of film. Yeah. Dude, who else is going to do 6.5 hours on King Von?
Hopefully no one.
Okay. Well, then let's get back to cuddly toys. Now, so when approaching that, so we had an interesting conversation about the film after Evan found it. First, I felt deeply embarrassed that you had put out something that was in World Camera and I had no idea. And then I watched her trailer. Because
you've been following her career from afar.
From afar.
Yes, right.
No, and I'm curious. I was trying to get Clark to watch the trailer right before recording, but we ran out of time. And if you could talk a little bit about that.
The trailer?
Yeah.
I typically hate trailers because they usually like give away the whole movie. So I wanted to do a trailer that was just new footage. I think the greatest trailer of all time is the 10-minute F for Fake trailer, actually.
I haven't seen it.
I think it was a 10-minute trailer.
It's really amazing. Well, because, you know, in F for Fake, Orson Welles is the on-screen narrator, but the trailer is narrated. It's the on-screen narrator is Gary Graver, his cinematographer, who's never in the movie once. Gary Graver has a really interesting story with Orson Welles. Gary Graver was like Orson Welles' best friend in the 70s, and he was like mostly a porn cinematographer. And for Orson Welles just thought he was just the greatest cinematographer ever, though. And like he wanted him to shoot F or Fake, and Gary Gruber was like, no, I have to edit these like pornos. And Orson Welles was like, just let me edit them then. And so like Orson Welles secretly edited these pornos to get Gary Gruber to shoot F or Fake for him. But yeah, so Gary Gruber is the on-screen narrator in the 10-minute trailer, and they just have like all they have these like photos and footage of Orson Welles' girlfriend with a tiger, which is also not in the movie.
Wait, what?
It's so good. Yeah. So I just wanted to do, you know, something that wasn't in the movie. I'll probably do that for all my movies. I hate trailers. I hate trailers so much. It's like they just like take all the best parts of the movie and put it in the trailer, and it's like, what's the point of seeing the movie then?
Yeah,
it's so stupid.
It doesn't help the movie at all, and it raises expectations that all of your friends will hold you to when you bring them to the movie.
Well, it's, you know, there's been quite an evolution of trailers since, you know, we've had, you know, when we saw, you know, Joe Dante's 6 hours of movie trailers that he cut in the 70s and put them all together. It's like, you know, trailers in the, you know, for films in the 70s are quite different than trailers today, because it's all, you know, towards, you know, marketing and everything is quite different. But, you know, if you use it, it's a good platform and a vehicle to use it in a different way. And like, you know, I saw the film, but I need to watch the trailer, because I have not seen the trailer for Cuddly Toys.
Yeah, it made me curious as to what was the main, what element of this film you really wanted to explore more, because the trailer kind of raises questions in like American culture, but the film, I felt like it was exploring a format. So I'm sorry. I know I feel like I'm getting really like, I'm trying to dig in here, but I want to know what makes you tick. You like a lot of the same shit that we like, but you're also, you feel more academic in your approach, but almost like you don't lead with that.
Thank you. Was there a question?
I don't know.
Oh, that's something I ask him on a weekly basis.
Yeah, no. Where's the question? Here's the thing. We have an annoying lag. So I'm trying to leave like a beat.
Oh, do we? Oh.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if it's just on our end, it's but we don't use bad. Zoom. Yeah, I know. Fuck you.
Okay. It might even be my Wi-Fi. I live in the middle of nowhere, so.
No, it's fine. Yeah, I'm just curious. Were you exploring like were you trying to deliver a message here, or just explore a lost like form of film?
Well, you know, I think one of the messages to Cuddly Toys is that there isn't a message.
Yeah.
Because it's just kind of like an amalgamation of just like these half formed ideas just kind of thrown together. But that kind of is the point, because that is what you're just kind of hearing all day.
Yeah.
In regards to issues about women and feminism and things like that, it's just like, none of it really adds up at the end of the day. And, it's very complicated.
It's a lot too. Like you kind of, it washes over you and you're looking for a conclusion or some catharsis and you don't get it.
Yeah.
And the trailer, you know, and I think that's why the Mondo perspective was interesting, because it's other countries taking a faux look at America and then delivering it like fact. So I liked it, even though you almost blended in like, what the fuck is the term for them? Like the Reefer Madness.
Yeah,
that was a more American product.
Yeah,
which was completely exploited for ticket sales. Like all that shit, all the fucking red asphalt. Like when you go back and read about it, it's like, now you think that these were instructional videos to help people, but like, hell no, they were making bank off those because people wanted to look at the shock and the tragedy.
Sure.
Yeah. I don't know. I loved it, but let's move on. I have a lot of real questions I want to ask you. Like, how the fuck can I watch Death Riders in the House? What the vampires?
I have no idea. Like, I don't know. I saw it screened twice actually in Los Angeles. But it's they never put it out streaming or anything, huh?
No. And here's the thing. I went and I saw Veronica. It played at the Castro Theater out here. And it played in this weird moment where Iron Maiden was touring. They were in town. And Danzig was playing the night after. And you could tell there was a weird mix of like film fans who liked horror and like metalheads. But it was a small crowd. And you knew everybody else was watching Iron Maiden. So you knew the real ones were there. And it was incredible. But he did a weird Q&A. He wouldn't open it up to the audience. It got filtered through a narrator. And honestly, the vibe I got was a lot of people were there to celebrate it. Like not to, I know the so bad it's good culture is something I fucking hate. But I felt like people were being like, they were on board. And I loved it. But you can't
I love those movies. They're great. I love Danzig.
Well, I definitely got into a couple of conversations of people coming to your rescue where they're like, oh my God, they just made that girl sit there topless for, I'm like, that's Kansas. If she didn't want to do it, she wouldn't have done it.
Yeah, no, I was very honored to be there.
So did you reach out to Danzig?
No. The producer reached out to me, but for that one, it was actually like, the girl who was supposed to do it dropped out like the day of or something. And they like just asked me to be in it last minute. And then, you know, I had a good time on that set. So then Danzig asked me to be in the next one.
Yeah. Now, what was the production like on that film?
On Veronica?
Yeah.
I mean, it was great. Professional.
Yeah.
I was there. Yeah.
All of the internet like lore is like, oh, this must have been chaotic. Because everybody's like, Danzig's making his dream 12-year-old movie. And I'm like, to me, that sounded incredible. Like an unfiltered, just this is what I want to watch. Yeah.
Yeah, no, he knows what he wants. A lot of respect for him.
Yeah. So I want to fucking watch Death Rider in the House of Vampire. He teased it when we were there. And this movie's never going to fucking come out. But then it did. And I knew a couple people who flew to LA to watch one of those two screenings. But
yeah. I don't know what's going on with things. It's been done for a couple of years now. But I don't know. People are probably wondering the same thing about Cuddly Toys. Cuddly Toys has been done for a few years now, too. But we just had some issues getting it out. But
so are Film Fest not taking the film? I can't remember where I heard that. Is it in the trailer that you put not coming to a film fest near you?
It's screened at the Lausanne Underground Film Festival in Switzerland.
Oh, hell,
and it competed too, and it lost. And then it's screened at this film festival in New York called New People Cinema Club.
Okay.
And then it's screened. I guess those are the only, and then your guys' festival. But otherwise, it's just been screened at just like independent cinemas all over the country, but it just hasn't come out streaming yet. We just had some issues with the music rights, but
okay.
It's all good now.
Okay.
That was going to be one of my questions is like, you know, I love the use of music in Cuddly Toys.
Thank you.
Because it's so
silly of me.
Well, no, it's sort of a minor obsession I have of music being used properly in film, and I am the sole judge of that whenever I watch a movie. It's like, nope, that didn't work. That's work part. Yeah. So I loved every choice you made with all the music. And then I guess my main question is, it's not really a question, it's just kind of a statement that hopefully we could talk about. I'm gonna steal from Russell's interview. Interview style.
Yeah.
So here's my not question. The monkeys are fucking awesome, right? You don't like the monkeys?
It's satire, bro.
Oh. I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Did they come after you?
I used to.
Oh, no. Mickey Dolenz do something wrong?
No, I love Mickey Dolenz.
I met Davy Jones in an airport in New Orleans in, let's call it, 2004.
Okay.
He died a few years later.
Good job.
I think the two events were unrelated.
Oh my God. Yeah.
But he's a fellow short king himself. So shout out to rest in power, Davy Jones. So what, you got monkeys beef now?
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
Wow, that really popped your bubble.
I tried. I thought I had a door. And it was just okay. a wall brick.
Was there any
other? I used to be a super fan, but it was like being in a cult.
Oh.
For the monkeys? I didn't know there was a monkeys cult. I'm interested. Yeah. Okay, all right. You don't want to talk about the monkeys cult.
You don't want to know.
But I do.
I don't know. You know, when it's unspoken, I mean, we just talked about how you were unfazed by being in Veronica, yet the monkeys cult is something you don't want to talk about. We can move on from that.
Hey, it's the monkeys, man.
I'm trying to separate myself there.
And then question number two. Have you ever done a Barbara Crampton impression before? Because in the film, I mean, I don't know if this is something that, you know, Russell and I, when we were talking about it, and one of the first things, like, did you ever realize how much like Barbara Crampton she looks like? And,
as the professor?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. I love her a lot. She's awesome.
Yeah, you know, you did the hair up, you put the glasses.
Yeah.
It's Barbara Crampton 20 years ago.
Well, it almost looked like you were doing the suitable flesh version of her with like the lab coat and the glasses on. Yeah, I was like, damn.
Well, that came out after this.
Yeah, I know. All right. Well, you know,
take that, Joe.
I hate to tell you, but a lot of people like Dutch right now. Dutch Merrick, he's doing Horror in the High Desert 3. He's on his third. And
he lives in Nevada too.
Oh yeah, that's true. He big fan of Nevada. And he told me about how when he put out the first one, him and Ricky Umberger, who did the fear footage, they were running into problems streaming because after the lockdown, Amazon Prime went hard on documentary because we were in the whole misinformation age. So I'm curious. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard that that's gone away. And Ricky ended up submitting like 5 different cuts of the fear footage before they would even take it on the platform. So I wonder if you're going to run into that problem, even though you're
filming. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's been so riddled with problems already. I'm sure it'll be a ton more. So
yeah,
taking it one step at a time. So, you know, Cuddly Toys has been done for a few years now, and I've actually already shot 2 other features since then.
Yeah, I know you stay busy. I do know that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I be on the lookout. I actually just wrapped one a couple days ago. I think that's why I'm all hoarse right now.
What are we doing? Traditional narrative, horror, trucker?
It's a horror Western.
Rad.
Yeah. It's a true story set in Nevada between 1910 and 1919.
Oh. Can we get more?
No.
Okay. I'm not
a bitch. And then the other one I did is closer to Cuddly Toys, but it's also true crime, but it's structured more like Cuddly Toys. So.
Okay. Let me ask you.
They're both done being shot. I just have to edit them now. So.
What hats are you wearing on these films?
Writer, director, cinematographer, editor. And I mean, everything else, basically, like costumes, locations, blah, 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 you know.
No, I'm sure.
Craft services.
I'm sure there are people dying to work on your films. Do you prefer to work alone or?
Oh, well, I mean, I do. I always have a crew. I always have my effects girl, Lo Espinoza. I got Don DeVore, my boyfriend, who's always kind of like my AC. Ish, like, you know, just always there helping out. And and then my sister's there sometimes and just helping out, you know.
Yeah, but
Western, I had a couple people. I had an actual AC on this one too, Naomi Williams. And I had a couple PAs. I had an accountant.
Oh boy. Exciting. I heard you say that you tried to reach out to Neil Breen and were
I have a script for him. I really want that to be my next movie, but I have a role I want him to star in.
Have you talked to Neil?
Yeah.
What's that like?
He's just my hero. So it's, you know, it's really cool to talk to him.
That's fantastic. We're big Neil Breen heads over here.
Yeah, we're new to it though, and I felt like we entered it incorrectly. Like, I think the proper way to be shown a film of that caliber from a tour like that would be with a friend ushering you in. Yet me and Clark, his new movie was playing at the Alamo.
He had been circling for a while, and I think we chose the right spot when to enter. We paid respect.
So you started with Cade.
No, we started with the Twisted Pair.
Yeah.
Okay.
We went Twisted Pair to Cade the Tortured Cross.
Yeah.
But it was me and Clark. We have a projector in the front room and we were watching it. And I'm like, the thing this is missing is our buddy who's like very excited about it. And like,
That was me. You're welcome. You were excited. Happy to be there.
But we were discovering it at the same time. So there was no like.
Yeah. So I carried your excitement too. Oh my God.
I'm just saying, I think you need like the lore and excitement and somebody just being like, oh, dude, isn't this great? Where we were both just kind of letting it wash over. And we were like, kind of like, I felt like we did it wrong.
No, it's again.
That's actually how I started too. Cause I actually just watched it cause he is from Nevada. And I was like, oh, like a Vegas filmmaker. Let me check this out. And I watched Fateful Findings, and it wasn't until the end of the movie where I was like, okay, I get this. And I actually watched it again a couple of days later. And I was like, okay, I get it now.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's the thing, Russ, is like, you got to think of it as like, you know, you put the primer down, then you put a coat and you put another coat.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know what I mean?
I don't know. The reason I got into film was for the community element. I love talking about the art. It's almost like a captured.
Sure, but this is, you know, this is.
No, when I just saw Cade, the Torture Crossing in theater, it was the, no exaggeration, the greatest theater going experience I've ever had.
I think we agree that was the best last year?
It was. I put that and Tommy's Big Shark.
Big Shark. Okay, now.
Because we were able to see that as well.
I don't like to compare them.
No.
But Neil Breen does on his website.
That is also,
I think he has a page on there that says The Enemy. And it's got Tommy on it.
Wait, what?
It was a similar filmmakers or something like that. It pointed to Tommy, and I think there was another reference too. But
that's him saying he doesn't like to be compared. I think they're completely different. I don't.
Oh, they are really totally
agreed.
No, because that would be getting back to that culture of so bad it's good. Where I just think
Breen isn't like that. Breen is an artist. I wouldn't put him in that category.
I don't think that's a category. I think that's people being lazy. And I think the value that Neil Breen brings is like this unfiltered, unladen view in cinema. He's not distracted by anything. He's just making what he wants to make.
Completely unique vision.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think in the world of like, you know, cable 2.0 streaming overload, that's the kind of shit I want to watch. I'd rather take a complete risk with a unique vision than like the another of anything.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I reject that too. But
he's a true artist. I think his films are brilliant.
Yet he didn't let you work with him. So what was he like? Fuck you, get out of here.
No. He'll be in my movie. I'm gonna keep talking to him.
Well, what if
it's a process.
Yeah, what, he reached out yet, but he will.
Okay. What if he reached out to you and was like, hey, let me edit your new movie?
Well, I'm not. No, that's different. I just want to act or something.
Okay. Yeah, I think when
or let Neil do all the special effects for one of your movies. I think that would be special. All green screen.
Effects. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, we have different styles. I wouldn't let anyone do that, but.
So when you reached out to him to help, what were you trying to, like, what element would you have liked to take on?
Oh, for his movie?
Yeah, for his movie.
Oh, I don't know anything.
Okay. You were just...
I don't do anything. I don't know. I just want to work with him. I just...
You can stand in front of a green screen, yes?
I really want him to act in this script that I wrote, so...
Has he done any other projects other than his own? Yeah, nope. That's what I thought.
I doubt it. I think
Kansas trying to break through.
If it takes me like getting $1 million for him or something, I'll make it happen. Like I need it to happen.
I love it.
But he's got money, right?
You want to start the Kickstarter right now? Is that what you want?
He's a mystery. Yeah,
let's get it going. I'm down 100%.
I will make it happen.
I feel like there's a tragic element to all of these, what would you call them? Quirky, interesting directors, unique.
Misunderstood.
Because I think the internet is quick to be like, oh, what is this garbage? And I think those dudes become so walled up that they're just like, fuck everybody. I'm going to do my thing and you can't stop me. And
that's good. Yeah, that's the attitude you need, you know?
Yeah. Did you get a little bit of that from Cuddly Toys? In what world did you think Cuddly Toys would be embraced by people? When we were talking about it for Uff, people were like, oh man, this is like an important film. And it's, you know, we got to show it. And I was just like, what are you talking about? Like, it's just good. Like, I don't know. Like, people have a like fear of like sharing that one, but I don't know. Like,
try to put things on top of it and, you know.
Yeah. I'm like, I feel like you guys are projecting on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, but I don't know that's, I like that too. People have all sorts of different reactions about it. It's, you know, I've heard all sorts of different things. There's people that are like, you know, horribly offended by it. And then people who think it's like a comedy, and then there's people that like cry at the end. And then there's people who are like, I don't know, that was dumb. And then I don't know. There's all sorts of reactions. But I think that's great. That's what you want as a filmmaker. So like, I don't care. I don't care what people, I just want to make the movies that I want to make. And if people have reactions to them, it's like, whatever.
I mean, I'll tell you from our point of view, the way that I think about what we do at this film fest is I like to program things that have an interesting take on the format. And I think your format is one that we've never even approached. Like the whole Faces of Death, like that whole thing, it just doesn't get tackled very much. Yeah. And I was like, dude, this is the first time. Honestly, I'm like, I'm kind of embarrassed that we don't have like a Mondo category. Because it is so different from...
Well, there wouldn't be enough. You know, they're remaking Faces of Death.
I heard that.
Are they?
I don't... Is it going to be all fake? I feel like you'd have to put something real in there.
Do it all AI.
Oh, God.
No, it's about like a curator of a YouTube channel.
Oh. Okay, continue.
Yeah, that's all too. That's all too. Huh?
Come on, okay, Kansas.
Are gonna be monkey brains?
I'm shocked. I think YouTube is like I was about to say unfiltered, yet YouTube has some of the most strict rules. They filter the most. But I feel like that's kind of the gateway for a lot of like potential Neil Breens, like interesting people to just put their shit out there and be consumed.
Yeah, I guess. It's like I can't think of any examples really though. But I mean, I guess I'm not, I don't know much about that world, I guess.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of ones off the top of my head and I really can't. The problem is if you make a good product, you want to put it out there and you want to talk about it. And I think the conversation when you put a film on YouTube just isn't there. There's nothing that can beat like being in a lobby at a film fest and having people kind of like parse your shit. Also, film fans don't really go to YouTube, as I'm discovering, and they like to hang out in the lobby of a theater.
Well, because they go to Vimeo, dude.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, fuck Vimeo. All right. Well, I don't know. Here, I want you to be honest. When you were accepted in our fest, were you like, what the fuck is this Blair Witch celebration? Or were you like, what do you think about what we're doing?
No, I was like, awesome. It's a like cool festival, you know?
Russell, she wants to start a trucker festival.
I get it.
Yeah.
He gets it.
No, I like all sorts of festivals. I think they're great.
Just because you're a fan of like a niche idea though, or like subgenre, does not mean you won't attack your neighbor. You know what? Like, and I think in-world camera, like found footage stuff, we're still rolling that boulder up the hill. Like there's still people who are just like, oh, this shit again.
Well, you knew that.
You're screwing one of my friend's movies too this year.
Which one?
Hunting the Hag.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
I know Paul Brooks and Sierra Renfro. Sierra is in my next movie, one that I shot that hasn't come out yet, but she is. She's one of the leads in it.
Yeah, Hunting the Hag. We're doing that on what I dubbed the recalibration party years ago.
Oh, that's right.
Which is at the ATA, which is a little tiny. The ATA is tight because they'll only show movies if they're avant-garde or like art. They won't let you bring in like just a horror movie.
Yeah. And a guy lives in the basement.
Yeah, he's great too. But I love that we could get our festival in there because I was ready. I'm like, here, no, we're looking at a narrative format. A lot of this is abstract. And then they were just like, no, you're good.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Like, oh, I was ready to fight for it. But I also heard that Paul might have bullied you into coming out here.
Me?
Yeah.
No.
Are you coming to the fest?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can only come the Cuddly Toys night, though. I can't come for the whole thing.
Oh, okay. You're from Arizona. Okay. You're really LA in us right now.
No. Well, I'm going to be in Vegas, and I'm basically just flying in and out of Vegas quickly. And
yeah.
I have to do some pickup stuff for my Western. So
you got a meeting with Neil Breen?
I wish.
Yeah. All right. So are you a found footage fan? What do you think of the Blair Witch?
Blair Witch is great. It's
what do you think of Blair Thumb?
Think of what?
The Blair Thumb. There was a whole series of parody films that are spinoff the Blair Witch Project.
The God Thumb, the Blair Thumb, and what was the other?
Oh. Yeah.
It's kind of like the Angry Orange.
I've not seen that, but I'm sure it's great. Blair Witch Project is great though. I don't know. I can't think of another found footage movie I like, but I'm sure there are. Oh, I watched the McPherson tapes. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
That was good.
I love it.
Oh yeah, the Horror in the High Desert's because it's Ely, so that's cool. Because I love Ely. I would love to make a movie in Ely someday too.
We'll hit up Dutch. Apparently he knows everybody there.
Yeah.
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 He actually,
and last comes year, after three.
Last year we were supposed to premiere too, but he played at a film fest out there and he had such a bad experience that he was like, next year you can have it. He really wanted to. Yeah, they put on the wrong movie. They played it early before anybody was in. The lights weren't off in the theater. And he had one of those moments that I'm sure we all have where you are going back there like, hey, the lights are on, nobody's in the theater, and this is the wrong movie. And
that does suck, but
yeah,
you know, there's one of the very few rural Nevada towns that still has a movie theater. So
hey, run a film festival is hard, guys.
This is the Central Theater in Ely. Great theater. There's there are out of every movie theater in the state of Nevada, out of it, well, every historic movie theater. So I'm not including Regals and Nasty, like, you know, the ones that are in Vegas and Reno. So all the historic theaters, there are four that are currently still in operation, and the Central Theater in Ely is one of them. So
damn,
kudos.
Well, you got one opening up.
Well, yeah, mine will be the fifth. There's also the one in McGill is planning to reopen. That's just like 12 miles outside of Ely. And then the one in Pioche, the Gem Theater, is also planning to reopen too. So there's going to be three more soon, which is awesome. But
so how many screens do you have in your theater?
One.
You got the, all right. So what are you going to do? Are you doing like a revival house? You show a new stuff? What's the plan here?
Yeah, 35 millimeter only. It'll be revival. I mean, we'll show new movies when we can, but it'll mostly be older movies.
So is there a print for Cuddly Toys?
No, not yet. I mean, we just settled everything with the music rights. So like, I don't even have like the correct credits and everything yet.
Oh, okay.
So there will be eventually.
Yeah, we were kind of excited. Yeah, the Balboa has capability to show it. And we're like, oh, shit, she's got to have a print. And we're like, we'll just have to do it again. Whatever, we make
the rules. I'm really excited to go to the Balboa, though. It looks beautiful. I've never been there, so.
It's fantastic. It's haunted. You'll have a great time.
beautiful.
Yeah. We've done a few ghost hunts there. I've yet to yield anything, except I thought I saw one one time, which was really annoying.
Yeah, there's actually.
Go ahead.
There's some ghost hunters that are coming to my theater soon.
Oh, rad. Did you bring them out? They demand it.
Is that part of like the insurance policy?
They asked me.
Oh,
okay. No. No, man. They reached out to me. They asked if they could do a ghost hunting, and I said, sure.
That's rad.
Are you going to film it?
They're going to film it. I don't know if I'm allowed to be there or not. We'll see.
It's your theater.
I know, yeah. I don't want to disturb the spirits.
Somebody's got to watch The Watchmen. I'm just saying.
What are they going to do?
I don't know. Vandalize.
Oh, my God.
That's a scam right there. You come in, you think it's ghost hunters, and then they rob you blind. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, I don't know what they would steal at this point, but.
You never know. So cyber theft. Possibilities. Yeah.
So a theater in Arizona, do they have strict.
Nevada.
I keep saying Arizona.
Because you have brain damage.
Yeah, in Nevada. Now, here's why. Because in Arizona, when we were with some company, we set up a warehouse there. And I remember the strict laws they had about climate control within the building. Is Nevada like that too? Like, do you have to have central cooling or else? Because I know it's illegal in Arizona.
The entire state is a desert.
I know, but in Texas, they didn't have that.
Yeah, but it's Texas. It's freedom. It's guns.
It's more trucker in Texas.
USA. Pow, pow.
We just kind of have sort of like the basic building codes. There's nothing okay. I heard of like that. But I'm currently getting the whole HVAC system installed right now. So So I want people to be comfortable.
That's the fucking dream, opening a theater.
What kind of HVAC system you got? You got a train? Oh, you got God. A Goodman?
The upstairs projection room in the lobby is getting a mini split system, and then
okay.
The actual theater itself is getting, I don't know what it's called, but it's, you know, heavy duty one. The, okay. You know, big tubing and everything.
That's the HVAC. I got you.
Yeah.
A lot of mini splits out there. For a brief moment in time, I worked in the HVAC industry.
Okay, cool. So,
you know, it sparks up an interest.
Yeah.
And it makes Russell uncomfortable. So it's a win-win for me.
If it's your dream to open a theater, you know, there are plenty of abandoned theaters all over the country that are just looking for someone like you that wants to do that. So,
sure. And if there were abandoned piles of money that I could go in and get the theaters, then
I got a grant. I got the state to pay for all this. So
we're just in saying. California.
Yeah,
we're in California.
Oh, yeah, get out of California.
Exactly.
But see, you like paperwork. I have a trucker's mentality to paperwork. That's my thing. You know, I can't do.
No, we.
All right, then you can't do it.
I know. No, we've laid to rest so many theaters out here in the Bay Area. We've probably lost more theaters in the past 10 years than other states ever had.
Oh, yeah.
And they're all.
That's really depressing. That hurts my heart.
I mean, we still have a lot out here, which is why I'm glad that we're doing four different ones with the film fest. But yeah, they're kind of like little theater carcasses all over the place.
Yeah.
And what was the one we were looking at? I know we were in a group chat with like four people. It's like, we could do it.
Well, it was the Rio Theater, which is outside of Bohemian Grove.
Yeah, it's right outside Bohemian Grove.
And that theater was up for sale for like 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was made for.
It was probably like millions of dollars, right?
It was.
Yeah.
But it was I mean, it was on like the Russian River. It was they had a couple other buildings on site that were active leases, and like, you know, it was a good opportunity, but
property. But it's already hard to get people into a theater as it is, and that was out in the middle of nowhere. And
especially, how are you going to get, you know, people that go to Bohemian Grove?
And, I know.
You know,
what can we offer that they don't already?
Moloch night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. As we wind up here, do you have any Tarantino questions for Kansas? No. Are you sure?
I'm sorry. I don't mean to offend by not bringing it up, but I was very happy for you. I'm glad you made the poster.
And Thank you. Again,
from afar. I was like, I wonder if this is going to change your career trajectory. And I'm very happy to see that it didn't.
She's doing what she wants to do.
Yeah, I know. And that's, I, Because that's the fear. You get like a unique voice or an interesting artist and they get picked up by like the, I don't know, the money side of film. And it's like, here, come make a Marvel movie or something.
Yeah, I don't know. People still don't want me.
I just can't believe that.
I think it's like probably gotten me paid more for like things I've acted in.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's good. Like, oh, well, she's in this movie. We got to pay her more.
Yeah. Is that going to be your credit forever? Do they always lead with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
Not always.
Okay.
All right. So we've got to complete the cycle here. So what we've learned today, Iggy Pop is cool. Mm-hmm. The monkeys are not cool because of some nefarious cult activity. Number three, was Brad Pitt cool?
Yeah.
All right. I'll take two out of three. Okay. Yeah. Says that's not bad.
Oh my God. All right, Kansas. I'm sorry. I felt like I was like poking and prodding you this whole time, but you're an enigma. And I love watching your film. I can't predict what you're going to do. But I'm a fan of everything you have coming out.
Thank you. Wait till you see this Western that I just did.
Oh yeah, please do.
Fantastic.
It's gonna be
the greatest Western ever.
There's a lot of them, so I'm rooting for you. Is there still a demand for Western?
Of course.
Not in California.
What are you talking about?
I love a Western, but I feel like it's almost like old hat film thing.
You're hanging out with too many young people, dude. Yeah,
because people make the same Westerns over and over again. That's why.
Are you going to go in like a Bone Tomahawk direction?
No.
Okay. That's the only one, like, of all the horror fans are like, I don't fuck with Westerns. That's the one that they're like.
Yeah, because it's splatter gore town USA.
I know. It's very genre. Well, Kansas, I love you. I want you to keep doing your art, and anytime we can support it or help get it out there, let us know, because we will.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so much fun.
Right, and please, I'll see you guys in San Fran.
Yeah. All right, looking forward to it.
Thanks, Kansas.
Thank you. Love San Fran. Okay, see you guys.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Overlook Hour. And if you would like to hear more, please subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever your podcatcher of choice is. And while you're there, go ahead and give us a rating and or a review, which is a very easy way for you to support this show that we bring to you every week for years now, free of charge. And as always, you can find us on YouTube at The Overlook Theater, Instagram at The Overlook Theater, Facebook at The Overlook Hour, and Twitter at The Overlook Hour. Last but not least, you can send us your emails and tell us how much you like or dislike the show at overlookhour@gmail.com. And if you're nice, maybe we'll read them on the show. I've been your engineer, Randy Statt. Please join me along with Clark, Russell, and Oksana again next time. Bye.